Hey there, welcome to this week's message from Real Life Ministries. We are so glad that you're here. We hope that this message will encourage and inspire you to walk closer with Jesus. Now sit back, relax, and let's dive into the Word together.
As Christian said, new series, we're jumping in. We're talking about the idea of resources. We're talking about the idea of generosity. We're talking about the idea of gratitude. And we're talking about the idea behind every portion of that concept, which we're calling rooted, which is, where do those things come from? What do you do with it? Who are you as a person? Where does your faith and trust come from in your life? With this concept of provision, material resources, abundance and lack. And we do this every single year at this time as a church. And the reason why we choose to have this conversation is for multiple reasons. One is because Jesus commands us to have this conversation. That's probably a good reason, would you agree? Jesus commands us to have this conversation. If you were here in our last series, we talked about what we believe it means to be the church, a group of individual people that are sold out to following Jesus, to living a life that is for him. And one of the precedents that we have as a church is that we say that we are going to be and make disciples of Jesus. We are going to be and make disciples of Jesus. We're going to reach the world for Jesus one person at a time. And in order to live a life that is completely sold out for God, to trust him in all of his promises, also includes being obedient to his commands that he gives us. And it's not just in the things we like, and it's not just in the things we don't like, it's in every capacity in every area of our life. Amen? One of the things that is talked about most in the Bible is finances, money. And Jesus talks about it not because of what it just does or what it can and can't do, but is what is the motivating factor behind it. God's intent is always to motivate us from the heart, from our position of belief. And where do we find life? And when we find it, what do we do with it? And so finances in this day and in this age and throughout history is talked about more than most anything, because that is one of the most destructive and productive things in creation. Okay, I'm gonna say it again. It's one of the most destructive, and I think you all can understand that, right? And most productive. Now, it can be productive for good purposes or for not good purposes. And so we talk about this because Jesus commanded us to be obedient to every truth that he has given us. And is that for our good, or is that because he's mad at us? It's for our good. See, we like the things that we see are good, and we don't necessarily like the things that we don't see are good. Jesus says what he tells us about finances and resources and our heart and what we believe in is good for us. We get to choose to trust it and obey him. Now, it can be unbelievably productive as much as it can be destructive in a person's life. I believe, that it can be productive when we're obedient to how God says it can be productive for us. And so we're going to talk about a couple different themes as we go through this series. We're going to do it in a three-week chunk, and so this is going to take us for the next 3 weeks. And the first week, which is today, is we're going to talk about this idea of being rooted. And throughout the whole series, where are you rooted? What is your foundation when it comes to the provision in your life? What do you trust in? What do you rely on? What are you building upon? What foundation do you have? And the text uses lots of examples of plants. Where are you rooted? Where do you get what you have? We talk about that week one. Where's it come from? How'd you get it? Whose is it? Are you sure? Where are you at today? That's the question. And then week two, we're going to talk about what does God say we are to do with what we have, regardless of how we got it. Okay, next week, you don't want to miss next week. It's going to be like part one, part two. What do we do with what we have regardless of how we got it? It's going to give a little sneak peek. Some of us are like, oh, the way in which I get the things that I have, if I believe that God gave it to me, if I'm trusting that God gave it to me, then I'll use it in the way that he asked me to use it. But the stuff that I get that's not from God, well, that's for me. And I'll use whatever I have for me if I didn't get it in the way that I think God gave it to me. Does that make sense this morning? these little different buckets, these different pockets is like we call it, right? Who has different like little bank accounts and little pockets in their life? Okay, it's kind of like that. Well, this one's for me, this one's for you. Nobody knows about the one back here, okay? That's mommy's pocket for things, right? That's daddy's envelope, okay? What do you do with what you have? That's next week. And the last week is, what happens with what we do with what we have? Okay? This week, where does it come from? Where are you rooted? What's your faith and your trust? Next week is, what does God say we're to do with whatever we have? And third week is, what is the result of it? And guess what you're going to see throughout all of it? Ups and downs and goods and bads. Victories and failures. Trust and distrust. Okay? And my invitation for you this week is the same as it is every week, is you get the ability today to take an honest assessment of where you are and make a honest and forthright decision with what you're going to do. Not anyone in this room believes that they have a completely perfect story in life, that they've never made mistakes, that everything they do is always correct, right? And if you think that, you're wrong already, right? And so today, if you're like, man, I got baggage and I got history and I got poor decisions when it comes with finances and I am just really struggling with this, you need to be here. Praise God that you're here today. There's people in this room that want help. There's people in this room that have a story that can help change your life. The invitation is, will you see it today in God's word? And will you be willing to take an appropriate next step? Because God's inviting you into that. Sound good? You along for the ride? Okay. So as we said, discipleship invites us to learn and to trust, to obey everything that God has commanded us. And what he invites us into is truth. This series is learning and living in trust and obedience with all of our resources in all of the different seasons of life that happens. See, that's going to be an important part of this conversation. When it's easy and it's good, it's easy and it's good, isn't it? Right? When life is good and it's easy and you got everything you need and you're, well, it's good, well, of course. And when it's not, well, it feels like it's not. See, God's truth is applicable and real and tangible in all seasons. And God speaks to all of them. And so where we put our hope and our trust is going to be brought to light or put into practice oftentimes in seasons of good or in seasons of struggle. Sound like your question, okay? Most oftentimes it's in seasons of struggle and difficulty, right? When you get squeezed, what's in you comes out of you, right? When it's hard and it's difficult, requires more trust and more application and more obedience than when it's going good. And so in all seasons, we're learning to trust. So here's our conversation for this week. Where are you planted? Where are you rooted? Where's your firm foundation? What do you believe and trust in? So in your notes, I put a couple of different things in there because we're going to take a little journey through the story before we get to some facts today. There's some themes and some concepts that God uses as he writes the story of history, as he tells the story of who he is and who his people are. And he uses them repeatedly. And there's these ideas and these themes that we can take out of the story of God that matter when we look at God's commands and what Jesus teaches us. Okay? So God's telling a story through the entirety of the Bible, the Old Testament through into the New Testament. And oftentimes in our day and age, we focus on just the New Testament and we look at some of the black and white commands. We look at what Paul says to the church and we can miss what it is that set the foundation for all of those commands. And so there's a couple definitions I want to put in here. And through the next couple weeks, we're gonna work through these together. And my hope is that you will see the themes in the Bible and you can match them with the themes in your life. You can see the concepts in the story and make them applicable with real and true and concepts in your story. You can look at God's story of his people, of who he is and how he works and all of their circumstances, and then do what with it? Look at your story and your circumstances and go, this is what was true there, is it true for me? This is what these people did, is that what I've done? This is what God does when we do that. Is he going to do that for me when I do that? And so we're going to look at some themes and some concepts, and then I trust that God's going to do what he wants to do with you specifically today, that he's going to move in your heart. The Holy Spirit, if you're a believer in Christ, is going to nudge you a little bit. He's going to challenge you a little bit. Hopefully he'll encourage you a little bit when you see victory in what God does, and that's how our lives change. So if you're looking at your notes, if you have them here, there's some in the back if you missed it. Here's some concepts from the biblical story and in your life story that are going to be important for this series. First one is there's this idea, there's this concept of the source of provision. The source of provision. where do things come from? Where does it come from? Okay, the acknowledgement of where do things come from, and I'm being specifically vague on purpose. Provision in things, in resources. Yes, we are talking about tangible, practical, material possessions and finances, but those things come from the concept. So the first one is the source of provision. Where do things come from? The things that you have, where do they come from? And so the question throughout your story, in the biblical story, is, does what I have come from God? Does what I have come from me? Or does what I have come from the world, my business, somebody else? Not God, not myself, but maybe my investments or in the power, in the ability in man to create and provide. Does it come from God? Do I make it myself? Or does it come from the world or humanity? Tracking with me so far? Where does it come from? Questions you're going to ask yourself, questions we're going to see in the story. Second idea is the amount of provision. The amount of provision. Pretty basic, three ideas. I either have not enough, I have enough, or I have what? Help me in the last one. I have too much. Yeah, more than enough. Okay, don't have enough, I got enough, or there's more than enough. Where am I at? What does that mean? What does God say in each one of those scenarios? Where does it come from? How much of it is there? Okay, and the last one is going to be the trust for provision. It sounds like the first one, but it's actually not. Okay, the first one is just a flat-out acknowledgement. Hey, it comes from this or it doesn't. Okay, either I get it because I made it, God allowed it. Okay, the trust for provision, this is the faith and the belief part, right? Where's it going to come from? Okay, some of us out there are like, if I'm going to acquire it, I got to get it. My trust, my belief in where my material possessions comes from is in a couple things. It's either going to be in, what's the first one? It's going to be in God, in how God says, right? And God's going to say things like work and have integrity and be fair and do your part. But that's how God provides, is when we're obedient to how he says we are to acquire. Okay? It's either God's going to be the one that I'm going to put my faith and trust in every season with where it comes from and how much. The next one is going to be what? You, me, trust in me, my schedule, my abilities, my giftedness, my understanding of what's going to happen, whether the market's going to change, whether the business is going to grow. It's me, mine, my ability to do that, right? Or the last one is going to be in the world. Again, my business is going to make it happen. I got to go somewhere where I can make money. I got to get a different job. The job is going to be the one that's going to provide. Me, God, or the world. Do you see the theme? Okay? Where's it come from? How much? And then where's your trust? Where's your investment, if you will? What are you buying into? What are you doubling down on? What are you hoping and praying for and to? Those three things. I'm going to jump down and talk about some imagery here for a minute. Okay? Some imagery. What we see in the vast majority of the Old Testament story and the New Testament story, and again, we're going to make this applicable for our lives, are these ideas, okay? There's this imagery of the desert. If you were to think about the desert, what comes to mind? Dry? Wasteland? Or some of you are like, the beach. No. That's part of it, but see, we can even trick ourselves. That's right, desert. Desert is an indication of trial and struggle, of lack, of testing, of sparseness, right? When you think desert, do you think abundance? No, that's not the imagery that the Bible uses, okay? The idea of the desert. Now, there's the idea of the water. When you think of the desert and you think of water, what things come to mind? No water, right? There's no water in the desert. When you get water in the desert, what's your response? Yes! Water, right? Think about like mid to end of July, August around here, okay? And if you're somewhere, let's say in the woods or not around any of the amazing abundant lakes and rivers we have, and you come across, say, a little hole with water in it, what kind of water is that? Right? You're like, yo, water, right? Not great. Okay, think mud puddle, stagnant, dirty, not clean, not living. And so this idea of water is presented in two ways. It's life, it's nourishment, it's refreshment, it's what is provision for you when you lack. Okay, but there's also a form of water that's not great. It's water, but it's not good. It's gonna help a little bit, but it's probably gonna make you sick and be worse than you would without it, okay? That's the idea of water. When you think of desert water and plants, plants is the part of the story, which is the part of our life, which is in reference to us, okay? A living thing that is dependent on resource to survive or to not, or to thrive, to produce, to bear fruit, right? The plant is like us, okay? And when we're in a desert, we're gonna need some provision, we're gonna need some water, and God calls us to have life, not to perish, amen? Okay, the last part of this one is different seasons, okay? What season are we going into here? Winter season, right? Snow season, okay? If you live in North Idaho or you're newer here, most of the time, I would say most of the time, be careful, right? Most of the time we get to experience an abundance of four seasons, okay? Now, seasons change. Now, do seasons impact the plants and the trees around here? Yes. Is there the same amount of water in life in the summer as there is in the winter? No. Do trees and plants grow the same in the winter as they do in the summer? No. Okay, the seasons change in reality and in your life, right? There's seasons in our life where there's a time to grow and there's a time to just maintain, right? There's a time to be pruned and there's a time to just make it through the winter. We're just about there. We just got to make it through, okay? There's a different season that impacts the resources and the elements that we have. Okay, when it gets hot out, it's harder for a plant, right? If you don't water your plants in the summer, what happens? Okay, what happens if you don't water your plants in the winter? Nothing, right? Anybody water their plants that are outside in the winter? No. Do they die? No. It's an interesting thought, right? You don't always do the same thing in the same season. Seasons matter. Okay, so we have a bunch of imagery. Okay, ready to talk about the story? We're gonna talk about the story, the imagery that God uses over and over again, and we're gonna ask ourselves questions. Where does provision come from? Where do resources come from in the world and in creation? Okay, how much? What do I do with it? Where's my trust and my hope? What do we see in the people of the story? And here's why I'm setting this up this way, is because God shows us, I believe in the text, that we learn better through story when we connect God's story and our story, right? We don't want to just shotgun facts at you. I don't want to just read off a bunch of verses because you could go read them too. I want this to be a conversation that we tell stories so that our story becomes a part of the story, okay? And so there's this imagery. So here's what we see in creation. In the very beginning, who created everything? God. Where does it come from? Him. We're one for one, okay? It's a very important one for one. In the beginning, God created everything. Okay, heavens and earth and all the things in it and the animals and the fish and the birds and the sea and the water and people. And he said that he created people in his image and that it was all very good. Okay, God gives people a role in creation. What is the role in creation that he gives to Adam and Eve? It is to be the steward of all that he has made. Where did it come from? God. He gave man, us, the responsibility to steward appropriately all that God has made and all that God has given. Okay, God says, Adam and Eve, you're in the garden. Difference between a garden and a desert. Okay, in the garden, how much is there? There's an abundance, right? Is there enough? Yes, but there's also an abundance. God calls us, he calls them to steward it for his purposes. Now we see that God sets the stage and that's the life that we're in Adam and Eve. And what do Adam and Eve do? When there's enough, when they have trusted God, when God says, here's your role, Adam and Eve say they want more. Oof. We're starting in the beginning, but yet maybe we're at the end. We see that we want more. We want what we don't have. We believe we trust God, but deception happens and different things and questions and fear and all these things come into our lives. And Adam and Eve say, we want more, even though there was always enough. In fact, there was more than enough. Okay, and we see from there, the story begins. The very next story of Adam and Eve is they have two offspring, Cain and Abel. Okay, we're talking about provision and where does it come from and how much. The name Cain in the Hebrew actually means to acquire, okay? I'm gonna pause for a second. Where does it come from? How do you get it? Cain's name is to acquire. He's going to get. Okay, Eve acquired a son. Cain's name is to acquire. Cain and Abel happen. Abel is a farmer, or excuse me, Abel is a herdsman, and he offers a sacrifice to God. It's good. A farmer plants. There's a connection there. Cain offers his life, his story to God, and God says, I think that you can do a better job with the offering that you've given. And what does Cain do? Cain does not trust God. He does not believe that what God says about him is good. And so instead, Cain does not trust God. Cain trusts who? Himself. And we see that Cain kills his brother. Cain runs off and runs away from God, away from God's plans, and he's disobedient to it. Again, there's an opportunity to trust and believe in what God offers. Cain doesn't do it. Here's why this part of the story matters. God will let you be disobedient and run. He'll let you say, God, I don't trust you. He'll let us say, everything that I have comes from me. I make it. I decide how much I give back to God, not what God asks me to give back to him. Do you see that? Abel said, I freely give back to God because everything I have is yours, God. Cain withheld some sort of a sacrifice to God. He decided what he gives back to God, and God let him. The rest of the story of Cain is that Cain leaves. Cain runs away from God's plan. He runs away from God's provision, and he goes and he actually builds a city unto himself. And what did God do? God let him. So right now we're going to pause in the story. God will let you be disobedient to not trust him, to say that what you have comes from yourself, and he will let you do it. And he will let you run, and he will let you build your entire life, an entire city, an entire community, an entire business, an entire estate unto yourself, and he will let you. See, God doesn't stop you before you do it, because that wouldn't be love, and that wouldn't be relationship, and that wouldn't be just. That would be controlling, and that would be robots. Today, when you're asking yourselves the question, we're talking about resources, and we're talking about provision, when we talk about what do you trust your faith in, you may be sitting here today going, I have an abundance, and it is because of what I did. I mean, God was kind of a part of it, but man, it sure seems to be going pretty good for me. It might today. And as we see the story, God might let you your whole life. And you may lose it at the end. You may acquire, you may keep all your stuff for the entirety of your earthly life, but you have been missing life the whole time. And then you have the opportunity to decide what happens at the end of your life. If you are a believer, you'll have to see what God says about what you did with what he gave you. He will let you run. We see the story of Adam and Eve and the story of Cain and Abel. Okay? We see after that that God has a partner. He picks a people through Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph. And what God does with them is he says, will you trust me that I will give you enough? I'm going to give you a land. I'm going to make a people out of you. You're going to have enough for everyone. And will you trust me to stay in the place and where I've put you in good seasons and in bad? And this is the journey of you trusting that I'm the provider, that you're going to have enough, and that you're going to do with what I give you with and for other people, not just yourself. And there's this whole cycle. There's this whole cycle, right? And what you're going to see through this whole cycle of all this timeline of people is that there's going to be seasons where there's enough, and there's going to be seasons where there's what? Not enough. There's famine. There's famine. There's going to be desert. There's going to be not enough. And what you're going to see multiple times throughout the story of those people is they're going to go, yes, God, we want to trust you. Yes, God, I'm going to follow you. Yes, God, we're going to go into some places that we're not really sure. And then the season is going to change. There's going to be lack. There's going to be confusion. There's going to be famine. And in every single instance, God says to them and us, do not run to the world for your provision. Do not forget that I will provide. Don't run to the world. Don't run to Vegas. Don't run to your business. Don't run to the I'm going to provide. That's that trust piece we talked about, right? Don't put your trust in yourself. Would you trust me? Would you trust me? Would you trust me? Would you trust me? And guess what happens time and time and time again? They don't. We don't. And so God puts this imagery in the story, this concept, this place called Egypt. Okay, Egypt has what? It has abundance. It has plenty. And in the actual geography, you're going to see that there's the Nile River and there's fertile farmlands, right? And at the time, there's Pharaoh. There's an abundance of resources. And God says, don't turn to that. Don't trust in that. Don't go for that. Would you hang with me? I promised you a place. I promised you a people. I promised you enough. Don't run to it. Don't run to it. Don't run to it. What do they do over and over again? They run to it, right? What do God's people, if you know the story, what do they find and what happens every time they run to Egypt? Slavery, bondage. They lose their life in the place where they have put their trust to find it. He says, don't go there. Don't trust in those things. Don't trust in the world. Don't trust in yourself. And we see that there's this cycle. Now, here's the really interesting part of the story. They want to trust God, but they don't trust him with those things. They want to trust in his promise, but they run because they have fear. They're not sure how it's going to happen. They're not going to sure what's going to happen next quarter, next year, next election. They don't know what's going to happen, so they're going to find themselves going to the place where they already know where the resources are instead of where God is going to have them. And what they find in Egypt, what they find when they chase the world and they promote themselves is bondage, and it's slavery. And this is probably my favorite point of this entire message for today, is you can find abundance and resources and be a slave at the same time. You can live a life to where you have so much, yet you have no life. You will be a slave to the environment that provides you the resources if it is not provided by God. And this theme goes over and over and over again in the story. We see Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, and then we get to this fella called Moses, right? And God works through Moses, and the whole story of Moses is he's going to use Moses to set his people free from the bondage and the slavery that they find themselves in because they sought the world, they sought the resources, they did not trust God with what they had. Here's what's really cool about the idea of Moses, right? Moses is what nationality? Okay, right? Moses actually kills a guy, right? What kind of a guy is it that he kills? He kills an Egyptian. That's not good. That's not a good thing, okay? But Moses has a story too. Do you have a story? Yep. God uses people with story. God uses Moses to go into the place to set his people free. And he does. And God does this amazing work through Passover. And we see that all the people are being led out of this Egypt place, led out of this bondage place where they forgot who they are. They forgot who provides. They forgot that there's enough. They have forgotten what their life is about. And they've lived in a land of abundance and had none. And Moses leads them out from that. And after a little bit, they are very what? Thankful. And then after that, what are they? They complain, right? And what are the things that they start to say if you know the story? Man, it was better back there. Why did you take us out of this just to leave us out here to die? And where did God take them? The desert, the place of what? Not abundance, of trial and testing. And what does God tell them along the way? The same thing he said in the very beginning. I'm going to provide enough for you. I want you to trust me. And we start to see the story of manna and quail, where God gives them just enough every single day. Not in abundance. What happens to the abundance each day? It rots. Like, he literally has to teach us that objectively to go, if you trust, if you take more than you need, it's going to go bad. Like a literal story. Every day, don't take enough. And does he give just Moses enough and then says, good luck everybody else? Who is enough for? One person? All people. So now God is starting to teach us. His provision comes from him. And his provision is not just for you, but it's for who? It's for everyone. He says that those that gathered a lot did not have too much, and those that gathered very little were not without. God gives to his people at an appropriate pace, not just for themselves, to be used with each other. Now, we discover that in the desert, and God says, will you trust? Along the way, we are like them. And the people are like, why did you take us out of this place so that we can starve to death or so that we can go and die because we don't have enough water? It would be better if you'd have just left us there. Man, you ever been there? Where you're like, you know what? Man, I would just go back to that spot where I had so much stuff, didn't have to trust, didn't have to do life with other people. Man, it was better being a slave and being in bondage and having no life and no identity with just an abundance of stuff. Man, and God tries to teach us. It's when we have lack to trust. When he provides, it's just enough. And it's not just enough for us, it's enough for a group of people together. And we see that this is how the story goes. Okay, Moses sets God's people free and we get into the desert. And then we go from the desert into a place where God takes them back to this, what we call the promised land. Okay, and now they go to a place that again has abundance. And what is the abundance to be used for according to what God says it's to be used for? Everyone. And God is going to say, don't forget. And this whole cycle, don't forget who provides. Don't forget how much is enough. Don't forget who it's for. Don't forget seasons are going to change. And we go full circle from the Garden of Adam and Eve all the way back to the promised land. And before they go into the promised land, that's what God says through Moses and through Joshua. Don't forget, don't forget, don't forget, don't forget. The season is changing. You're going to go back into a season to where you're going to have what? Enough. More than enough. And God's going to be the one, we're going to be reminded, yes, God's provider. God's the one that gets us out. God's the one that leads us to it. And God's desire when he sends his people into the promised land would be that we would be generous and thankful and have gratitude and share and to see that no one is without need, that we would be reminded that God is the one that provides, not ourselves, that we would put a hope and a trust in God's timing and in God's amounts and in God's ways with the eyes for other people, not ourselves, that we would be reminded that the seasons are a gift. Again, gonna change, and when they do change, God is gonna say, do not what? Don't go back to the world. Don't put your faith in yourself. You're gonna be tempted. The story repeats itself and it repeats itself and it repeats itself. And he says, don't go back. Don't run back to Egypt. Don't make idols. Don't be the one that you can provide for yourself. Don't just be about you. Please don't forget, don't forget, don't forget. It's like huddle, ready, go. And then they go into the promised land, and what happens? They forget. No way. This sounds a lot like me. They forget. And we start to go, man, how many times? Ask yourself that. How many times? How many times do you have to go through that? How many times do you forget? How many times do you go, man, I just need a little more. Man, I wish it was a little easier. Man, I wish I didn't have to go day to day. Man, I wish I didn't have to trust. Man, I wish I didn't have to rely on somebody else. Man, I wish it was easier. I wish I didn't have to be a person that relied on the people of God to be generous to make sure that I have enough when I don't. That's really hard. You know what I'll do instead? I'll go do it myself. I'm gonna work on me. I'm gonna live my best life now. I'm gonna get whatever I can to acquire what I'm gonna trust me. I'm gonna trust the world. I'm gonna trust the process. Do you see the tension? You do. You are the tension. You're just like me, right? Now, some of you sitting here today and you fought that fight, you've won that war, you're a person of faith and trust and generosity, and you are changing the world and changing people's lives because of what you do with your resources. Do not let anybody tell you that that's not true. If you are a person of abundance and you are generous and you give and you are benevolent, you are representing God to the world, that changes lives. Thank you. If you're not a person that is that, would you be compelled and convicted to take a step to be a person like that today? Would you push past some hurt and some selfishness? Would you push past being offended at the invitation and the truth of God? Don't complain. Don't make excuses. Don't point fingers. Would you go, you know what? That's on me. I got to change. It's going to be really hard. And guess what it's going to feel like? And guess what it's going to look like? Desert. Desert is what it's going to look like. Just like God's people, just like Israel, God is going to take you on a journey to get that out of you. And guess how you're gonna feel along the way? It was better then. It was better when I had more. No, it's not. No, it's not. It is not better to be in bondage to material possessions than to trust God and have life in things that do not come from wood and stone. It is not better. It's not better. But it's gonna be hard. The questions that we have for today is, where does your provision come from? Really, where does it come from? Does it come from God? Does it come from your own hands? Does it come from the world? How much is enough? God continues to show us over and over and over again that I will always provide for you if you trust me enough. When there's abundance, is the abundance for you? It's not. It's not for you. It's for those people that put their trust in God that are wandering in the desert, waiting for provision. And God says, I use my people to steward what I have given them to help those that are in need. If you are sitting on abundance today, my challenge for you is, what are you doing with it? Why has God given you abundance? Are you thinking it's just for you? Is it for retirement? Is it for enjoyment and leisure? Because what's gonna start to happen if you trust in the text is God's gonna say that you're gonna lose your life in the way that you think you're gonna find it. You don't know how many days you have. You don't know how much time is left. You don't know what the market's gonna do. You don't know if you're gonna get robbed, murdered, stolen. You don't know any of those things. You may think you do. The story repeats itself. Where does it come from? How much is enough? Where's your faith and your trust? Man, I know there's people in this room today that want what I am sharing about who God is and what is true. But you have something inside of you that will not let you trust in what God says. You've got to trust in yourself. You think it's up to you. Guys, you know it is a miserable business. Why do you think we have so much anxiety and depression today? Why do you think people can't sleep? Why do you think drug abuse is at an all-time high? Why do you think suicide is ever increasing? It's because we think it's up to us. I got to fix it. I got to figure it out. I got to do it. There's so much pressure. I got it, but am I going to lose over and over and over again? You will lose your life in abundance. God says you will find it when you're willing to give it away. There's a couple verses in here that are going to set us up for the next couple weeks. Okay, we've looked at this idea of being rooted and planted. Okay, Jeremiah is one of the prophets that comes along after God's people find themselves in the promised land, and they go on this journey, just like your journey of trusting and not, of good and of bad decisions, of good leadership and bad leadership, of being benevolent and trusting and being selfish and horrendous. Over and over and over again, the people of God go through this cycle. So God sends a bunch of people in the form of prophets to remind them who God is, to encourage them to not go in the direction they're going, to call them back to trusting God, and to deliver the message of truth, which is y'all blown it, and there's gonna be consequences. Because that's true also, isn't it? A trusting, just, and loving God is one that allows us to be disciplined and have consequences to our decisions. So Jeremiah is one of the passages that we're looking at, and a few in the New Testament. I just want to share them as we're looking towards next week. This week is what do you believe and what you have and how much. Next week is what again? What are you supposed to do with it? Okay, what are you supposed to do with it? So let's look at Jeremiah here and a couple New Testament passages as we end. Jeremiah chapter 2, this is what God is saying to his people when they have forgotten, when they have again turned to the place when he has encouraged them not to go, to themselves and to the world. Here's what Jeremiah says, speaking on behalf of God to his people. He says, be appalled at this, you heavens, and shudder with great horror, declares the Lord. My people have committed two sins. They have forsaken me, the spring of living water, and have dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. So we talked about our themes, right? Jeremiah says, my people have forgotten where provision comes from. And who does God say is provision? He is. He is a stream of living water in the desert. And what has Jeremiah said the people have done? Forgotten. Not only have they forgotten, they have forsaken. That's the first thing. And the second thing is that not only have they rejected that God is the provider, that what have they in turn done? They have dug holes, cisterns, for themselves, own power, own provision, own pocket, my own thing. And God says, what about their cisterns? They're not even gonna be able to hold water. Ever been there? Where you're like, I got this plan, this little get rich plan, this little plan where I'm gonna find this nest egg, I'm gonna do this thing, or I'm gonna do it, and it doesn't work. God says, you've turned to yourself. You've rejected me. You've done it for yourself on your own power, and even that is not gonna hold water in the desert that you find yourself in. So our country's going through a lot right now, isn't it? Has America gone through a lot, different seasons since it's been established? Yeah. Is there a chance that the season that we're heading into is not very good? Yeah. Economically, leadership-wise, government-wise, foreign relations-wise? Could go bad, right? Season could change. And Jeremiah is speaking to a people to where their season was going to change. And he says, pretty good right now. Got a lot right now. Guess what might happen? Might be a time for the desert. Might be a time where it's challenging. Might be a time where it's difficult, individually and collectively as a nation. And what Jeremiah has told God's people, and God can share us through his story, is that you might have forgotten where it came from. And the temptation is that you've built it yourself. It may be a time to where you're going to lose the water that you thought you had. Jeremiah later in his text in 17 says, this is what the Lord says, cursed is the one who trusts in what? Man. Who draws strength from mere flesh and whose heart turns away from the Lord. That person will be like a bush in the, where? Wasteland, desert. A bush in the desert. He says, they will not see prosperity when it comes. Why not? Because they're not rooted where the living water is. They're not planted where the stream of life is. They're not near where God is going to give. So when the prosperity that God promises his people comes about, what's going to happen to them? They will not see it. So you can choose where you're planted. You can plant yourself near the living water, the abundance of what God offers. You can be a part of his church. You can be a part of his people. You can have relationships with believers who challenge you and encourage you and spur you on towards love and good deeds. They can be a people that are generous together, that are willing to give in abundance to one another. I'm getting ahead of myself. It's next week. Can't help it. Right? Or you can uproot yourself and plant yourself right in the middle of the desert and isolate, separate. Say, God, I don't need you. You're not water. I am. God, I got plenty right now. I can go in the desert for a real long time. I'm good. I got a lot. Look how big the plant is. Look how much fruit I have. I don't need to be by you. I don't need to be by your people because I got an abundance. The weather is going to change. He says they're going to experience it when it comes. They will dwell in parched places in the desert in a salt land where no one lives. Be blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence in him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. Ooh. Think right now. Mid-August. You are in the middle of nowhere with no water and it's 99 degrees and you got nothing, no shade, no nothing. God says, when you're with me, it's like being by the river that is going to receive water. It does not fear when the heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought, and it never fails to bear fruit. I'm going to read Psalm 1 and then talk about Timothy, and then we're going to pray and think about what this means for today. Psalm 1 says, blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked or stands in the way that sinners take or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the what? The law of the Lord, the commands of the Lord. The truth of the Lord, the game plan of the Lord, the right handling, the right belief, the right trust in someone who trusts in that, who meditates on his law day and night, that person is like what? A tree planted by the streams of water, which yields in its season and whose leaf does not wither, whatever they do prospers. See, when we want to trust in God that he's the provider, that he gives enough, that the season is right, that there's ups and downs, the way in which we do that is by being a people that trust and meditate and think and put into practice his word, his commands, his blueprint, his game plan. Is that making sense? How do we do that? How do I change? How do I trust? What do I do? Be in relationship, be committed to learning the law of God, be committed to understanding his commands, be committed to one another, and allow him to take you through a desert season which will teach you that enough is all you need. That when you have more, it's better to give than it is to receive. And all the things that we're going to hear and talk about for the next couple weeks. I'm not going to read them, but I'm going to mention them. 1 Timothy and Matthew are some pretty classic New Testament verses to where we see that everything we have comes from God. We didn't bring anything into this world. You're not taking anything from it. If your heart and your passion and your desire is to get more, you will lose it. That's what he says. And we're going to talk about more of that next week. But as I close today, and as the team gets ready to pass out some communion, the same questions apply. Yep, we're talking about finances. Yep, we're talking about material possessions. Yep, we are. Absolutely. Because God commands us to. And it's probably one of the things that ruins more lives than anything. The question for today is, what do you believe about what you have? Where does it come from? Did God allow you to have a brain that's fantastically smart so that you can work business and get stuff? Did God allow you, or did you just do it yourself? Where does it come from? Do you trust in that? Do you trust in yourself, in the world, or do you trust in God? How much do you need? How much is enough? God says enough is enough. You don't need more. What does that mean to you today? What does that mean in your heart? And where does your trust lie? Your faith in God or in yourself?
We want to thank you for spending part of your day with us. Our mission at Real Life is to reach the world for Jesus one person at a time. If you'd like more info on the ministry or a giving opportunity, be sure to download the RLM app or visit us online at reallifeministries.com.